right. Good morning. How's everybody? As you're coming in, I want to remind you about next Sunday, which is Friend Family Day, and bring a friend or a family. We're going to talk about relationships, and I believe that's what the Scripture is all about from Genesis to Revelation. God created us to be social. He created you to be connected to other people, and family, and friends. And how many know there's only one family in the whole wide world, and that's the family of God? Do you know that? He created everybody to be His sons and daughters. Revelation 21 says that, and we shall be His servants, and we shall be called His sons and His daughters forever and ever and ever. So let's stand together as we enter into worship. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the privilege we have to exalt You. And Lord, we lift You up. We worship You. We praise You today. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
God of miracles, come. We need Your super. way that you've come. For all that you've done and all that you'll do, my heart pours out. Thank you. You don't have to come, but you always do. You show up in your splendor. You always do.
always been. You presently are. And you will always be with us. No matter what our circumstances look like, you never leave. You never leave. And we thank you that you never leave us. Just a choice on our part to be aware of you. And our prayer today, Father, is that we can forgive and that we can let go and see past our pain for just one second to hear you right beside us saying, come on, I'm here. Come on, I'm right here, and you can do it. And so that we can hear you tell us, I never left you. I can take you back to that place. I can take you into the middle of this circumstance. And all you have to do is look up and see me. Take your eyes off of that sinking ship that you've created in your mind and just look at me standing on the water, asking you to just trust me and step out and walk with me and trust me, because everything is easier with me and you don't have to do this alone. Have the power to just choose to be aware and to every moment choose to be with you and choose to trust you and choose to see, because we create our world and it's disastrous when we choose to focus on sinking. Nobody wants to feel that way. Father, thank you for being there with us. Thank you for creating us to be loved. If we choose not to trust you or choose not to focus on you in every minute, then you can forget what we were created for. We can't receive it. We can't give it. So we open up this morning and thank you for being here. Thank you for being with us and creating that space for us to receive you and to be able to pour that out. We pour out our love for you today. Thank you, Father, for filling us up.
Further and further, my heart moves away.
love just sitting with you. We love feeling your love. Your love is so extravagant. Your friendship is so intimate. You never hide. You never hold back. We want to become all we can in you, to be one with you, to walk with you, to experience your healing and your joy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We never let go. We never hold back.
Sweet Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Make sure that you got your bulletin because there's a lot of important information. Probably the most important thing to us is this connection card. If you're a member, each and every week we encourage you and expect you to fill that out for us. Signing up for different things. For sure, don't forget, at the table this Wednesday night. You have until noon tomorrow to get. Make sure you're signed up. So the easiest way is your connection card today. And you won't want to miss it. It's going to be awesome. So make sure that you do that. Pastor Dusty, come on.
All right. Thank you, Dad. Good morning. Well, school started back this week, and all God's mamas say, amen. It was, and it's funny, every time school, it's time to start, it's like, you know it's time for school to start. You feel that it's time for school to start. And it was time for Jet Tackle to be back in the classroom. And, with my oldest, John Henry, he started high school this year. High school. And I said to him, jokingly, I said, John Henry, I said, you want your mama to homeschool you this year? He says, no, Mom, I don't. Notice I didn't ask Anna if she wanted me to homeschool her, because she would have looked at me like I was crazy anyway. But the parenting gets easier. Not easier. It gets more enjoyable the older your kids get. It really gets more and more fun. And so while I was ready to have Jet in the classroom, and I enjoy Jet, okay, but I was ready to have him in the classroom, I was kind of sad for my older two to kind of go back. And if you want to be, to remember, or if you want confirmation that the best is yet to come, go upstairs to that youth building and surround yourself with those teenagers, and then you will know the best is yet to come. They are the best group of students. We, Chris and I and several of us, Bobby Joe and, of course, Will and Jennifer were with us, got to go to youth camp this year, Eric, and we would leave those services and we would come back and we would just talk about the richness, the amazing spirits of these teens. And we started thinking about all these kids up there, or these students there, they've been feasting at this table really their entire lives. And those who are new to the table, they've just kind of pulled up a chair and grabbed, they've grabbed a hold of this thing that is so good. And so I just want you guys to know the best is yet to come, because I'm living with the best. You guys are living with the best. The best is yet to come. Dad talked last week about the table and this table and the importance of drawing people to this table. And there's a scripture, and it's one of my favorite scriptures of the table, and it's in the Song of Songs, and it says, "Let him lead me to the banquet hall, and let his banner over me be love." The banquet hall, what that was, it was actually a house of wine. It was a wine cellar, and it is where this table right here that we set is a banquet hall where you're able to come and be filled with rich truths, where you're able to be refreshed, to be replenished. And Dad said last week, this is not the table you come to. And it's kind of like you don't invite anybody to your house over for dinner and tell them how bad they are. All right, they probably wouldn't come back to your house to eat, right? And so, but this table here at Eagles Way is where you come to this table. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what your lifestyle is. I don't care if you're rich, if you're poor. I don't care what color you are. I don't care anything else other than let all who hunger and thirst, let them come to this table. That is what Eagles Way is. That is the table that we set to be sweetly refreshed, not to be beat up. Aren't you glad you don't come here and somebody tells you how terrible you are? But this is the table that we're setting. And then it says, and let his banner over me be love. You see, the word banner comes from the Hebrew word meaning to cover. It means to cover, that there is such a sweet sense of protecting love in this house, that we're going to cover you, that we're going to protect you. And this First Peter says, love covers a multitude of sins. That's who we are. That's the table we set. That's the table you come to every single Sunday morning. It's that table. Back in when this scripture was written, this book of Song of Solomon was written, its flags and banners were raised during battles to rally troops, to raise morale. And this right here, this was a protection that the king, you would go into the king's banquet hall, and he would have this banner there, and that banner would be love. And because of that banner, because of that love, he's saying you're protected, and that you are protected from your enemies. Psalm 60 says, but you have raised a banner over those who fear you, a rallying point in the face of attack. See, that banner, your enemies, what that banner is, it's saying we're going to protect you from the lies that you believe about yourself. You're going to come sit at this table, and this banner says that we're going to protect you and help you see that this is not who you are, but you are who God says you are. Moses, I love this story. Moses had already led the Israelites out of Egypt. And then they are in the wilderness, and they are in a city called Rephidim. And you know the story. Most of you know the story. And the Israelites are going to have to fight the Amalekites. And so Moses told Joshua, you go fight. You go lead your army, and you fight the Amalekites. And I'm going to go up. I'm going to climb up to the top of this mountain. I'm going to raise my hands up there. And as long as I have my hands raised, you are going to conquer. You are going to defeat. And every time, so Joshua did as Moses said. And they went out, and they started fighting the Amalekites. Went out to fight. And then every time they would take their eyes off of Moses' hands, they would push back, and the enemy would press in. But every time they looked back at Moses' hands being raised, they would advance, till eventually they defeated the Amalekites. You see what happened? See, and then God told Moses, he said, you go build an altar, and you name it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. See, in that moment, Moses became a living banner. He became a living banner. We become that living banner in people's lives when we raise that banner and we remind them of who they are. I have the privilege, and moms and dads, you have the privilege to raise a banner in your home when the enemy comes in to attack your children, or their minds are not focused on what they need to be focused on. You have the privilege to raise a banner and remind them of who they are. We have the privilege to raise a banner and to remind each other of who we are. That's what this table is. And that is the table that we set here at Eagles Way. And that is the table. And it's easy when we come into this house to get to dine at this table. Isn't it easy? Because you feel the Spirit. We hear the songs. We sing them. And it's good. And it rejuvenates us. It refreshes us. And it's all good. And it's all important. But we have to leave this house and go set our own table. We have to leave this house and go set. Ralph's been talking about you've got to go from I am must become I will. I am going to come into this table, and it's important that we do that. It's important that we do that, but I am has to become, now I'm going to leave, and I will set my own table. I will set my own table. We already know the design. We already know the design is full of rich food, rich provisions of goodness. I already know that the table is set. It's already been designed here. And I already know the banner over it is love. So how am I going to set my own table? How am I going to internalize this thing that I don't just have to come here and I get it here, but I get to walk out and I get to feel it at home. I get to feel it in my car. I get to go to your house and feel it when I'm with you. I get to feel it all the time. I get to feel the table, feast at the table all of the time. You have to decide what your table is going to look like. You've got to decide. That word decide became so alive to me 2 weeks ago, I'm not sure, whenever Elizabeth posted this video on Facebook, and there were several stars who have, successful stars. I think Wayne Dyer was even one who was sharing about just how they became successful, how they got to where they are. And I don't know why, and it was all good. It was all positive and inspiring and encouraging, but Will Smith got on there, and he said this. He said, you just decide what it's going to be, who you're going to be, and how you're going to do it. Just decide. And from that point, the universe is going to get out of your way because it's water and it wants to move around stuff. Once you decide, everything moves around what you want and what you want to be. Once you decide. And that word became, I commented on Elizabeth, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm writing my journal right here on your profile, on your thread. And I started journaling, and I started writing because in as much as my life is good right now, in as much as my life is full, in as much as this is good, life is good. I love my family, love my friends, it's good. What am I missing? Because I haven't decided. What more is there? Because I haven't decided to do something, to be something, to go after something. What am I missing? And you know what I started thinking? This is what I did. I went back to a vision I've had for my life. I had to revisit a vision. Then I had to adjust that vision, maybe add something else to that vision. I had to go back because decision is birthed out of vision. Decision's birthed out of vision. The scripture says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And it's the vision. You can have a vision board. Anybody heard of a vision board? You put up, all my Pinterest boards are vision boards. But guess what? If they're not out in front of me and I'm not focusing on them, I'm not deciding to do it, anything with it. It's just a vision board. I'm not going to cook those recipes unless I print them off and put them on my kitchen counter. Right? I'm not going to do it. And so, vision is necessary. But you won't get anywhere until you decide to do it. And so I had to start focusing on that vision, focusing on what God showed me years ago, focusing on all that. And I had to put, and see, where focus goes, energy flows. And so the more I focused on it, I'm like, I sat up in bed, I'm by myself, Chris is on a trip, and I'm just weeping, writing, because I went back to the vision and I gave focus on it. And I said, no longer am I going to sit and be content with this happy life. And it's happy because there's more. There's more. I'm capable of more. I'm capable of more. You're capable of more. There is more to you than you know. There is more to you than you know, than you see. There is more. And you know deep within there's more. You already know. I don't have to tell you there's more. There's more. You're capable of more. And so Chris got home from a trip, and I'm like, I got to tell you about the word decide. I got to tell you. And so we sat. I didn't tell him until we sat at the table. And Jet had already left, and so, you know, it'd be awesome if he could participate in these conversations, but if it's not about Star Wars, he kind of disengages. So we're sitting at the table, and John Henry and Anna, and we were eating dinner, and then we just kind of stay there. And I said, not only did I have the opportunity to share with my husband, but I had the opportunity to share with my children. Let me tell you about the word decide. And I said, I've decided, I know I'm supposed to write a book. I've known it my whole life. I know my sphere of influence should be greater, not to make my name great, because there's a message that people need to hear. And I've decided that I'm capable of it, and I'm going to do it. And I'm telling you here at this table, because at this table, I'm drawing strength from you. And you know what? Chris looked at the kids and he said, you don't have to worry about these kids. John, Anna, tell your mom you're good. You're fine. To go after it. They're like, Mom, you got this. And see, so what happens, they become living banners. And when I get discouraged or I fear failure, guess what they do? I got John Henry raising a banner saying, Mom, you got it. You got it, Mom. And that's what the table's for. You know you are capable of more. Decide what that table is going to look like. If Chris Tackle, he's flying in an airplane and he decides to divert to LaGuardia, he's not going to land in Boston. That'd be bad. He's already decided, and you decide, you do it. You go, you do it. And the other thing Spirit showed me in all this, I'm not deciding tomorrow. The time is now. Now is your time. Now is the time, not tomorrow. Not. It's easy to make excuses. I made them. I thought, the children are my number one priority. And they are. They know that. But I allowed, sometimes we use noble things. They're noble. That was noble. As an excuse to not pursue the more. Hey, Doug Perkins. It's good to see your face. So what's going to be at my table? I already know what the more is. Dad's talked about the different things at the table. He's talked about meat. Ralph will always say, I'm going to give you something. You're going to have to pick the bones out of it. That's what the more is. It is, a lot of times we grill on the deck, and Dad will say, bring a meat to grill. That means you're responsible for bringing your richness, your depth. And I may not eat your meat, and you may not eat my meat, but we're going to bring our own meat, and we're going to share, and we're going to partake in it. It's going to be good. And God just said, stop feasting on fried Spam. Nothing wrong with it. I know you used to like it. I think you still like it, Ralph. When I've got something better for you, you're feasting on this, and it's good. It's sustaining you. But I got filet mignon, man. I've got the best cut. I've got something good for you. So I'm going to go after more. See, this is when Dad said 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he said, are you going with me? That's the meat. Are you going to go with me? Are you going to do this thing with me? In 1 Corinthians, it said, I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. But God's telling you the time is now, and you are ready.
Yeah.
You're ready. You're ready to feast on the good stuff. You're ready to, picking those bones out, it's not going to be a chore. You're just going to pick them out, and you're going to feast on it. Because you see, the meat is, it's where you become these living epistles, and you expand them. That's what the meat is. Then Dad talked about there's bread at the table. That bread is you, and that is me. That is us as a family. The bread in Scripture always meant fellowship with one another. It always meant the coming together. It's 1 Corinthians says, the bread which we break, does it not mean that in eating it that we participate in and share in the fellowship, the communion in the body of Christ? Bread is a metaphor for the family of God, and bread is also means strength. Psalms 104 says, he gave us wine to make them glad, olive oil to soothe their skin, and bread to give them strength. There's another translation that I love even more. It says, bread to sustain them. I'm called to be a sustainer at the table. You're called to be a sustainer at the table. You're called, when your children come to you and they tell you about a dream they have, you better sustain that dream. Sustain that vision. Your friends come to you and they tell you about a dream they have, a vision they have. You're sustainers. You strengthen. And you better make sure you're putting people around your table who are going to sustain that vision. Sustain those decisions. Because whatever strengthens you inspires you to keep pressing on and to keep pressing on and to keep pressing on. That's the bread. You're the bread. I'm the bread. Sit around this table with me and let's sustain each other's visions and go after the more.
We're the Lord. Yeah. Good work, girl.
Thanks, Doc. We are sustainers. We are expanders.
Yeah.
And then Dad talked about the vegetables at the table. And what happens is the more you come to the table, the vegetables bring healing. And the more you come, you have now built this foundation that when hard times come, when disappointments come, and they will, because that's life, that's the isness of life, something hard's going to hit you. But because you've come to that table and you've got sustainers around that table and you've been digging in deeper to the word and you've been digging in deeper to your soul and you've been growing, those hard times come, guess what? Those vegetables are going to be there to heal, to heal. There's a book, Elizabeth introduced me. Elizabeth, you just inspired this whole message, man. She introduced me to by Shauna Nyquist, not sure how to say it, but it's Bill Hybels' daughter. And I was like, what? Small world. And she wrote a book called Bread and Wine, A Love Letter to Life Around the Table. And there's this one excerpt from the book, and get the whole book because it's beautiful and there's recipes you may cook for your table. But it says, the table is where we store up for those days where we log minutes and hours, building something durable and strong that gets tested in those terrible split seconds. And the table is where we return to stitch our hearts back together after the breaking. That is the table. That's the table I'm building. That's what I've decided. That's the table I decided to build, to sit at, to heal, to sustain, to expand. And then Dad's talked about the fruit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, self-control, and all of those things. And that's just a sensitivity to the Spirit within you.
That's it.
It's being sensitive to the Spirit within you. Let me tell you, I failed at that this week, didn't I? Had a moment. If you don't ask Chris, ask Anna. She'll tell you the whole thing. And I had allowed some resentment to set in just a minute. Didn't even think about this. The day before, that morning, and I'm not even going to tell you what it was. It was the silliest thing. It's none of y'all's business. And I let this resentment build up, and I just said the ugliest thing. Ugly. I was not sensitive to the Spirit. I didn't even think about no love, joy, peace. And Anna looked at me, and she's like, Chris walked out of the room. He wasn't mad. He was going to check on Jet. And she looked at me, and she said, for real? For real? And I said, Anna, you don't know. One day you're going to be grown up, and you're going to be married, and you're going to want this, too. You're going to get this, too. And she just said, and this is why it's so important to view your children. There's no little God in them, but God in you. You better, that was the Spirit. See, God loves me so much. God loves himself so much within me. He gonna say, Anna, go fix that. I'm just gonna speak through Anna right now. We're gonna line ourselves right back up. We have to be sensitive. Walk like barefoot priests, sensitive to the Spirit, sensitive to know when to say, sensitive to know how to say it, sensitive. So my table's got to be filled with sensitivity of fruit, so I know the winds and the howls and the moves, and it tastes sweet when you say it then. So fruit, is it sweet? It tastes sweet when you give it. It tastes sweet when you love. It tastes sweet when you're kind. And in as much as you receive from it, you give from it. And then there's wine. We already know that the song says that the banquet hall was a wine cellar. See, the atmosphere was already set for joy. The table, you come to this room full of joy. I'm going to set the table in the wine cellar. I'm going to set the table in the wine cellar. Wine to make them glad. Olive oil to soothe their skin. You see what the olive oil did? It lifted their countenance. That's why people put coconut oil over the face, because it does all these, it makes your face look good, your skin look good, your hair look good. That's what oil was for, but it's to lift the countenance, to make you shine. Oil to make you glad. See, we have to decide we're going to create an atmosphere of joy. You ever go into somebody's house and as soon as you walk in, you feel this sense of peace, or you feel this goodness, or it feels good. Like there's something cozy in this home. There's something that feels good. And it's not just that smell good candle they have lit helps. But that's not it. It feels good. It's because they have already set the tone. And they didn't do it that day before you got there. They didn't do it because, you know how they do it? Because gratitude. They've already been filling that house with gratitude. The days, the months, all the times leading up to you stepping foot into that home, they've already been pouring out thanksgiving. They've been pouring out praise. They haven't been yelling at their children. They've been pouring out praise on them, telling them how great they are. They haven't been having those moments of resentment where I'm just like, whoa. But then we recover from, well, you're going to fail. You're going to have those moments. But we're at a point now, they should be fewer and far between. Shouldn't be that many. Shouldn't be catch yourself. Realign. Create an atmosphere of joy. That's why when we come to the table, we say the blessing. We just want to come to the table. We say the blessing, right? That's what you do. You already set the tone. When Jesus chose to represent his blood to us, he used wine. At the Passover, in the midst of his pending death, he took the wine. He took, when he called it, a cup of blessing, his blood, and it said he gave thanks. And he said, now you drink this. You drink in this joy. You remember this moment. You drink in this. I'm going to the cross. And so it's from the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. He set that joy before him. Yes, ma'am. It wasn't just magically set. He drank the cup and he called it. He says, this is the cup of blessing. and he gave thanks for it. I know what's ahead. I know the road. I know what I'm about to do. But I know the trial that I'm about to endure. But I'm going to set a path of joy in front of me. So whenever you drink of this blood, whenever you drink of this wine, you're going to remember the joy, the goodness. You're going to remember the good, and you're going to create an atmosphere of joy no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what's going on, the good, the bad, the ugly, because you have decided that I'm, no matter what, I'm raising this cup of blessing, and I'm going to give thanks for it, and I'm going to create a path of joy. Yeah. And the banner over it all is love. Got to decide how you're going to set the table. Now you've decided, you got to declutter it. And I just started cooking. I'm telling you, it gets better as I get older. Started cooking. And she doesn't like to just cook and you come up to eat at the stove. Does not like that at all, because that's not, you're not enjoying. So now she has to clean off the table, declutter it. And the girl got nerve to say, we should not let so many things pile up on this table. And I want to say, you know your stuff's up down here too. You know that's some of your stuff, but you have to declutter. Because sometimes when we do, when we set the table, there's just a little bit of clutter. And so we push it to the end. You ever do that? And just kind of make room for your space, right? But do you know it's still a distraction? Because you know what I do? I look at it at the end of my table. Why can't I go file that away? Why can't I get that taken care of? Why can't I deal with that? How long am I going to let that sit on my table? I'm still able to feast. I'm still able to eat. But I'm not getting reaping the full benefits of it, because that's a distraction. Got to get it off. You got to clear it off. Sometimes the table's so much we don't even try to eat on. We're going to the living room. I ain't even trying to clean that off. Then you can't even feast and enjoy at all. But decluttering the table is when you decide fear comes up. You're going to raise a banner of fear. You're going to raise a banner of I'm fearless. When things start coming up, you see, we start filling our time with things that rob us from the good. We cannot let less become the enemy of the best. You can't feast on a bunch of junk food and then come to the table and expect to eat and be hungry and to be full. We have to decide, what are those things on the table that are causing distractions for me? For me, there's been an element of fear. The reason I haven't written a book, there's an element of fear, element of lazy, I'll be honest. I'm going to have to take some time and do this. And I have got to declutter, get those things off the table by raising a banner to the truth, by raising a banner to what's good, by stop letting these insignificant things become significant. I've got to get my ego off the table. I've got to remove my need to control it, to control what it's going to look like. You ever sat at the table with your child and forced them to eat and how miserable it is because you're trying to control their diet? It is not fun. You got to give up your need for control and just go for it. Last night, you know what he fed yet? He wanted corn and french fries. I didn't try to give him no meat. Have corn. I looked at Chris and said, you good? He's like, I'm good. Be good. Go. But we had to give up. I'm not saying feed your kids carbohydrates all day long. Sometimes that's choosing the better. Amen. Amen. And so you have to declutter your need for control. You've got to make space for it. You got to declutter the busyness. There is no such thing in the spirit as hurry up. You've got to make space for it. I've got to declutter any unforgiveness I have. I've got to remove any fear. I've got to remove any jealousy. Remove anything sitting at that table preventing me from feasting at it to its fullness. And sometimes we're going to fail. It's like when I did this week with that, you know what I had to do? Reset. I'm going to clean off this table. I'm going to reset it. It was the next day I reset, but I reset it. Reset. Jet the other day came into the kitchen, has a little bitty mini Lego Iron Man. And it was just all in pieces. He can put it back together, but he decided to use this. I don't know. He throws it on the counter in pieces. He says, "It's pretty much my day." Right there. He did. That's my day. I looked at him and I said, "Jet, let's put it back together. Let's go put it together. Let's put Iron Man together." And he said, "You want to video it?" I said, "Yeah." So we went and sat at the table. He's like, "Video, swear, tell the truth. A video." And he's like, "All right." So everything from Iron Man's little blue things, this whatever that is, Chris, helmet, everything. And video, this is Iron Man's happy face. This is Iron Man's sad face. And then he said, "You want to video me putting Darth Maul together? Darth Vader?" I'm like, "Heck yeah." You know what he did? He reset his table for that day. You know what's hard for adults? This was awesome. That's why Jesus said, "Come to me like children, reset." Yep. Adults, we're like, "Uh-uh, you already messed up my day. I already put clutter on my table. I'm just going to sit here for the rest of the day at my clutter table." Mm-mm. Children say, "Uh-uh." They get pride off real fast and reset, reset, reset. We got to remove pride. David, and you may feel like, "Well, as soon as I get through this season of my life, as soon as I get through this crazy time, as soon as God does a work in my husband, as soon as things get right with my children, as soon as things get right, then as soon as I can just overcome my insecurity, as soon as I can overcome my fear of failure, as soon as I can overcome the thought of I'm not enough, then I'm going to come to the table." But David, in the midst of he went through some crazy times. In the midst of a valley, he writes Psalm 23 and he says, "For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But then he goes on to say this, "For you have prepared a table before me in the presence of my insecurity." In the presence of my depression. And the depressed, in the presence of my addiction, and the presence of that thought saying I'm not enough, he's prepared a table for me in the presence of these things. And so I'm going to keep coming back to the table, and I'm going to be looking at him on the other side of the table, and I'm going to be looking at the banner of love, who he is, because when he holds up that banner of love over me, that's he's saying, "This is who I am." He's saying, "Look within, Dusty, that's who you are. Look within, Joe, that's who you are." In the presence of all those things keeping stuff on your table, he's saying, "I'm going to prepare a table for you in the presence of it, and you're not going to be looking at your insecurity. You're not going to be looking at your anxiety. You're not going to be looking at anything else except the banner that I have raised." Raise a banner. Raise a banner over your children. Raise a banner. Don't you take hits. Come on. Don't take them. Don't fall down. Don't take them. Raise a banner.
Come on.
You raise a banner of truth. You raise a banner of love. You raise a banner that says, "I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to strengthen you." You raise a banner. Don't you stop raising those banners for your family. Don't you stop raising those banners that there is more, that there is more, that you are capable of more. Don't you stop raising those banners for yourself, for other people. You are a living banner. Don't stop raising it. Don't go down. You're not going to go down. The enemy says, I've been knocked down. What is it, Dad? You always say it. It's good. Maybe you'll preach it next week. But not knocked out. That's it. Seven times I fall, seven times I rise. He does his thing. It's so good. You raise a banner. And Eric, if you can come play a little something. And the last thing, so we decided what our table's going to look like. We gotten all the crap off of it. I said, crap, sorry, Dad. And now, whoo, we're going to linger at the table. Whenever I used to go to Big Mama's house to eat, and she'd cook me breakfast or dinner or whatever it was, I'd eat, and we'd talk a minute. And I'd start getting my stuff together. She always sensed when I was about to leave. Even if I'd been there for 4 hours, you got to go? What you hurrying for? What you rushing for? Don't you know I'm God? Don't you know I'm God? I lingered at that table. Don't rush. Don't rush it. You say, I'm not going to rush through this meal. All through scripture, I'm getting tongue-tied. All through scripture. When you see Jesus at the table, you always read he was reclining.
There it is. Yes, ma'am.
And the tables then were set up that way. They were set up with these. You had the table, then you had these. It's like these resting cushions, and they would just lean in. And what is said is, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving this table any time soon, because the table's always been a place where we linger, where we stay, where we give, where we partake, where we sustain, where we are healed, where we are reminded of who we are. It's always been a place of joy, of gratitude in the midst of everything going on. It's always been the place you run back to and you stay there. Let me tell you why this church is named Eagle's Way. Psalm 40, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord, they that linger at the table, you're just going to linger. You're just going to wait. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Keep waiting. Keep lingering. Because I'm about to show you something. I'm about to show you something you haven't seen before. You're about to mount up with wings as eagles, and you're going to see something that I see. See, you're looking right now at this struggle. I'm about to mount you up on a wing, like an eagle, and you're about to see my redemption. What happens when you linger at the table? When you wait, what if you wait just long enough, your marriage is restored? What if you sit at that table just long enough that your relationship with your son becomes better? What if you sit at the table long enough and relationships are put back together? What if you sit at the table long enough and insecurity is defeated? What if you linger at the table long enough and fear is under your feet? What if you linger at the table long enough and every hurt, every pain becomes your footstool? What happens when you wait, when you linger? Let me show you something. God saying, let me show you that you're capable of more. Let me show you, you. Rise up, and I want you to see you. I want you to see you. Rise up with wings as eagles, and I want you to see you. Book of Revelation was written by a man named John. John didn't go to the Isle of Patmos by choice. This was not some luxurious island where he was going to get to feast. He was banished there for preaching truth. Banished there. This is a place where he was going to be to be come at against, to starve. And you know what John does? You know why this is not a foretelling of the future, but a revelation of not just who Jesus Christ is, but it was a revelation of who John was?
Come on.
You know how? Because he gets to the Isle of Patmos, and he's there, and he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me saying, I'm the Alpha, and I'm the Omega, I'm the beginning, and I'm the end. And you know what? He's like, what else do you see, John? He's waiting at the table. He's waiting at the table. What else do you see, John? It's God saying to you, what else do you see, John? Because everything you see about who I am, that is who you are. That's how you're going to survive on this island long enough to write a book about it. Survive on an island long enough to write a book about it. A book about who God is, a book about who he is, a book about who you are. What book are you writing? What story are you telling? You're capable of more. You're living epistles. It's not just here. You better be take a journal in your purse. Take a journal everywhere you go and you write your book. You write your book. Somebody's going to read it one day. Somebody's going to read it one day and they're going to say, man, Jennifer, you were in the Spirit on the Lord's day when you wrote that. I needed that. Will, you were in the Spirit on the Lord's day when you wrote that. I needed that. That's who I am. That's who God is. That's who you are. It's time for more. It's time for more. I'm not going to leave this table without going and creating my own. Whew. Today is Sacrament of Healing. No sweeter place to be healed. No sweeter place to be set free. No sweeter place to say, God, I'm going after the more. I'm not settling. I'm not settling. No sweeter place to say, I got a new banner. I've been raising the wrong banner. But I got a new banner I'm about to raise in my house. I got a new banner I'm about to raise over my children. I got a new banner, and it says some really cool stuff. If that's you, you may be here this morning. You need a touch of the Spirit. You need a touch at the table. You need to dine from the table and come down. We want to pray over healing for your body, for your soul, for your spirit. It might be that you just want to come down here and say, you know what? I'm just coming down here to say, I am going after the more. You already know you're capable of more. And by coming down, you're saying, I'm going after. I've decided to go after the more. Everybody, stand up. If that's you, come on down. We're going to pray. We're going to raise a banner with you. We're going to raise a banner for you. We're going to sustain it. We're going to sustain each other. That's what we're going to do. Going to remind you. Going to remind you. Ooh. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, we just fill this altar with gratitude. We fill this altar with thanksgiving. We come before your presence with singing, with thanksgiving, with gratitude, with joy in our hearts. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. This atmosphere is already set to joy. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, Lord, that you still do supernatural, amazing things. Thank you, God, for healing. Thank you, Father, Lord, for causing us to mount up as wings with eagles and see the big picture, to see what you see. Thank you, Father, Lord, that we are brave, that we are capable, that the time is now to run after, to go after, to pursue after, and to attain it. And then after we attain it, we dream new dreams, and we have new visions, and then we go after it, and then we go after it, and then we feast from it, and then it just never stops. Thank you, God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the richness at your table, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for the things that you show us when we wait, when we linger. Thank you, Father. We don't leave this house. We don't leave this house without every day saying, there is more. There is more. Every day you wake up, first of all, you say, thank you, God, there is more. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for who I am. And thank you that there's more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. But Lauren was singing, further and further, my heart moves away from my comfort zone. It moves away from settling. Further and further, my heart moves away from what I think this is it. And it moves further, further and further. My heart moves away from the shore into these amazing things. God is good. You are good. I'm excited. I'm excited. Because I'm not the only one who's going to be writing a book. I'm excited. A few years ago, Chris and I had the bright idea to take the big kids to learn to surf, and it was fun. It wore me out, but it was fun. And I remember being on a surfboard way out, I'm laying down flat on the board. You lay on it, and my surfing instructor said, there's a lull before you surf. There's a lull. But then when that wave comes, you have to ride that wave, or guess what? You're going to have to go through another lull. And you're going to have to wait on the next wave. So he said, when that wave, here you're sitting, you're waiting for it. You've been doing all the things you got to do, feasting for it. You've been ready for it. You've been coming in this house, feasting, hearing it, building it, creating momentum. Now that wave's coming. He said, what you got to do? You pop and lock, right, Chris? Some? Chris will never do this again. But you pop and lock. And when you pop and lock, that's how you know you got the wave. If you get scared, you don't pop and lock and ride it, you're going to have to wait. Who knows when the next is coming? The wave is coming. Pop, lock, ride it. Okay? All right.
You may be seated. I need Dusty's water, I guess. I don't know. Woo! I hope you have signed up for At the Table. I hope you are planning on bringing a friend. If you're going to bring a friend next or a family member next Sunday, stand up right where you're at. If you're going to try to bring a friend or bring a family member because you've been inspired today, stand up. Try means that you invite somebody, you ask somebody, that you pop and lock or whatever it was that you do. Otherwise, we're just going to have barbecue with family. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's lots of people that need to experience what you experienced this morning. They need the opportunity. They need the invitation. Seriously, you're going to have an option this week. You're going to encounter somebody. You're going to come across somebody. And you either say it or you don't. Hey, Sunday, got a special thing going on. These guys are getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and they're cooking Boston butts all morning long. There'll be baked beans and slaw. Just come enjoy that. I know y'all want it right now, don't you? Next Sunday, as our ushers are receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, thank you for your faithfulness. Many of you give in the offering bucket. Many of you give online, whether it's the app or at the website. There's lots of ways that you can do that. We are seeing that more and more people are being blessed because they're realizing the blessings that come to you when you're faithful to tithe to God. Your faithfulness. It's not, sure, in order for us to do what we do, there has to be funds that come in. But the reality of it is you are blessed when you do what God has called you to do. And that's what we want you to do. We shared with you through a letter and different things that we had a couple of air conditioners go out and we dipped $12,000 into our reserve funds. They've all been replaced. It's pretty cool. The faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God that's in you. To step out and do those things to give. So thank you. Thank you for doing that. You guys can go ahead and pick those up. If you have not been coming to discovering or, it's not discovering your sacred self, awakening your sacred self on Wednesday nights, it's not too late. There are 3 more services. This particular Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, we're having the meal at the table if you've signed up. And then we'll be back in here at 6:30 for that class. And then the next 2 Wednesday nights after that. So it is awesome. Invite somebody. So you be here and bring somebody with you. So God's good, isn't he? Did y'all enjoy Pastor Dusty? Wish you'd have gotten inspired or something. Well, stand where you're at. And I'm going to encourage you to go and meet somebody or introduce yourself to somebody that you have not ever met before and say hello. And that is our dismissal. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.